condition 1E, and this hasn't been shown already, I don't think. After the change the word residential accommodation to residential use in the wording of condition G03, condition 1 in brackets, 1E in brackets. So not accommodation, the word use. Oh, yes, thanks. Also, the conditions show that this consent was amended on the 9th of July, but that's not correct because today is the 4th of July. So could you just put that where, in throughout the consent, where it is noted that the amendment was made on the 9th of July, that be changed to the 4th of July? Assuming that we're all in agreement to that, but I think we are.
I think we are, yes. So the decision of the panel is unanimous. It is to adopt the recommendation. Daily assessment report.
Subject to those changes.
To the changed conditions below. And again, reasons for the decision.
The panel
supports the findings contained in the assessment report.
That's right.
Subject to the conditions mentioned above, and endorses the recommendation contained in that report.
Easy. Do you want to do that one for me? I was going to do enough reasons. Yeah. I have my reasons written down here. For amenity.
The panel supports the finding contained in the assessment report, subject to the conditions mentioned above, and endorses the recommendation contained in that report. Decision is unanimous. Next is item 4, 61 Mansfield Street, Roselle. We have Miss Esposito here, I think. On behalf of the applicant. One concern that occurs to us is the stability of the remaining structure. if that wall is removed.
Just wondering if your expert could come forward and just explain to the panel how that would be made sound structurally, please.
Good afternoon. My name is Alessandro Belgiononettis from GSBN Studio. I'm a designer that's been working on the project, and I guess to answer your question, if you were to demolish part of the wall and leave a nib on each side, well, an extended part of the wall on one and a nib on the other, you would be able to extend a beam across the top, which would then support the floor above. I mean, it's a pretty simple structural solution. I guess if you have any other questions.
Just wondering what the length of the beam would be and its material and how it would appear in its finished state.
Let's have a look.
Do you need a scale wheel?
Yeah, scale. Have you got a scale wheel?
I may.
You don't have one? Let's have a look at the plan. I think it's probably 4.3.
They also want another material. It's going to look like, so just
run
through that.
The span looks to be, I don't have a scale ruler with me, but based on the site plan overall dimension at the boundary to the north, it looks to be about 2.5 metre span, and the material would be steel.
We were disappointed not to be able to access the inside of the property when we visited the site this morning. And the question has come up from the panel, would it be possible to retain two or three brick widths from the top, just so you can you can see that there has been a brick wall,
yeah, I think
just
so.
In terms of aesthetics as well, and yeah, just linking it with the past. Would that compromise ceiling heights or any other part of the structural arrangement that's proposed at the moment?
I think if you were to retain two or three runs of bricks, I would have to check on site the dimensions and whether that would impact on head heights, but I think it would be 2.2 to 2.4 metres clear, and it shouldn't affect the overall head height of that space. Obviously the steel beam would have to run underneath that.
Yeah.
So we'll have to make sure that we have enough space for the brick run of brick and then the steel underneath. We would be happy to accept that as if that was a recommendation.
And the actual width that would be retained on your diagram, what does that actually show in terms of metres or...?
Look, it was an email to Lisa Bell. I didn't expect it to be... I thought we would, if we were to prepare something, we would have prepared a proper architectural drawing. But I guess...
What was the overall width? I haven't got my 2. Scale on either.
2.5 is what I is a conservative measurement based on the site and roof plan DA01 in the drawing set.
So you'd be leaving how much?
So it would be leaving about 1.5 metres. If you look at the ground floor plan and align the stair, the width of the stair.
Yeah.
And it actually hasn't been amended on the plans because we weren't sure if this was going to be a recommendation or if it would be discussed at the panel. But align the width of the stair with that nib wall, extend that nib wall out towards the line of the stair, which would be, it would be a little bit more than a metre. That's on DA04.
It looks like it's more than a metre on the diagram.
On this diagram?
On this, yeah.
Yeah, it's a rough...
It looks like about maybe 1.5 metres.
I think... You think it's more on the diagram? Or?
I think it's... Yeah. It looks like more than a metre because I haven't got my scale rule either, but it looks like it's about 3.5 metres across the width.
The opening, let's say the opening on the diagram is 3 and the retention, the part of the wall that's been to be retained is 1 metre because the width of the entire boundary is 4.47.
Right.
From wall to wall, outside wall to outside wall.
We're just saying that's this.
You can sort of get an understanding for how narrow it is.
So how much are you proposing that should be kept?
I think, thanks Rob. Here we go. If we could work with 2.75 metres, that would be great. That will allow for...
That's your opening,
2.75.
And sorry, what does that leave us?
To retain? Okay. Yeah, it's about a
metre. It's about a
metre. Let's retain a metre and align it with the edge of the stair.
The metre would be just a bit less shown on this, or you're saying a metre would be roughly what's shown on this diagram?
On this diagram,
yep.
I would say it's roughly a metre is shown on this, but again, it's just a sketch on PDF. But if we say that we kindly ask for a metre to be retained,
mm-hmm.
and 2.6 to be... 2.5 to be open, demolished. To be demolished,
yeah.
Including
okay.
that little nib.
And how many courses of brickwork would you keep from the top?
Let's have a look at the section.
The photograph you show has got three.
Well,
on
two.
A,
yeah.
Maybe two.
So we have a 2.6 metre ceiling
three.
Proposed,
two,
so we could
okay.
retain two runs, which would give us...
And then you put the beam underneath.
And then the beam underneath, hopefully. I mean, we'll have to speak to the structural engineer. You know, let's assume the beams are 250 maximum. I don't think it will be, but, you know, that brings in... Mm. That doesn't give us much. Six.
What do you think?
Can we retain one run?
Are we able to allow some flexibility in any proposed conditions so that it's one or two, depending on the
yeah.
final design development with consultation with the engineer? Because I would hate that we leave here and can't satisfy the two for BCA issues or engineering issues.
Yeah, I guess one becomes very tokenistic. Two, at least you can see the
yeah.
joins, the material, the mortar colour.
I hear what you're saying, that
yeah.
two is the preference, and we will do two if it can be accommodated.
Mm,
yeah.
That's right.
What about if we had it as a deferred commencement condition so that gives flexibility to come up with the final option?
The preference wouldn't be to have... I think our client is looking for certainty to make some decisions and go to the bank, so that the renovation can be undertaken, and we'd be looking for a development approval rather than a deferred commencement condition, which is still remains uncertain. And in that instance, we'd be rather take the consent as it is rather than nothing.
I wonder if it could be.
The panel visited the site this morning. Unfortunately, we're unable to access the interior, which has resulted in us needing to debate a little bit more here. The panel would like to go with the recommendation of the council report, with the following exceptions. Under condition 1, paragraph 5, the wording of the condition shall remain the same, except at the end of that condition, comma, except as outlined in condition 4, which I'll read out to you. So over to condition 4. Amended plans are to be submitted incorporating the following amendments. Sub 4A. The ground floor internal stone wall between the living and dining area and internal fireplace. Yeah, it's not going to work. Oh, that's sorry. You want me to reread paragraph 5 of condition 1? Yes. With the first, under condition 1, paragraph 5, the wording of the condition shall remain the same, except as outlined in condition 4. So those words, except as outlined in condition 4, form the last part of paragraph 5.
Say, except as the words, in inverted commas, outlined in condition 4. Is that what you mean? Maybe under condition 1...
With the following addition?
Maybe under condition 1, add the words, except as outlined in condition 4, to paragraph 5. Or as in condition 4A, actually.
4A? Yeah.
Okay, under condition 1. Sorry.
No, you do.
Under condition 1.
Paragraph 5.
Paragraph 5.
Yeah.
Add the words, inverted commas.
Except as outlined in condition 4A.
Yes.
And then we go to condition 4A. It's going to read, the ground floor internal stone wall between dining and living area, which is already in there, is to be...
Okay, after the words retained, so we can just say it's to be the living area internal is retained to the extent of X metres, we can say. To the extent of blah, blah, blah metres. What do we agree on? So after the words retained... To the extent of...
It's less 2.5. Could you just advise me of the overall width of the room? Yeah, the internal dimension. Thanks. Okay, so...
That was 3.6.
3.6 metres.
So it's 2.5.
2.5.
Yeah, it's 0.9. 1.1? Yeah, okay. The words. 4A. Is to be retained.
Yeah.
It's better to say it the other way.
Retained.
It's okay. Add the words. See, it's better to say it like this, except for.
It's just a little bit easier to type it.
Okay.
You're right. Add it onto here.
We retain.
Yeah. To the extent of 1 metre. Down there. And the and two courses of brickwork.
Mm-hmm.
And two courses.
Makes sense.
Stonework.
It's both.
Is to be retained. How do you describe it?
Oh, it's fine. It works out because there's no brick or stone on the floor.
For the opening. Above the opening.
It's both. Stone and brick, sorry.
So it's with stone / brick.
I don't think it makes sense because you've made it the other way. The ground floor shall be retained.
To the extent of 1 metre. So we're retaining 1 metre of wall.
Yeah.
And two courses. On the which side is it? On the eastern side. Yeah.
And two courses of brickwork to be returned. Yeah. Okay.
And then this is to be submitted to council.
Yeah.
To be submitted to council.
Amended plans. Amended plans are to be submitted to council prior to the issuance of a construction certificate.
Submitted to council for approval.
I was just going to wait till she finished. To council for approval. An issue probably is fine. Issue of a construction certificate. I was being a bit flowery. So that's the amendment to the recommendation, which the panel is unanimous in its decision.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And the reasons?
All right. Again, as usual, reasons for decision. One, the development is permissible in the R1 general residential zone. The development is permissible in the R1 general residential zone. Two, the development will be compatible with the emerging and planned future character of the area. Planned, not planned. Planned. Three, the panel supports the findings contained in the assessment report and endorses the reasons for the approval contained in that report. Subject to the above mentioned amended conditions. Four, for the reasons given above, approval of the application will be in the public interest. The decision is unanimous. And thank you very much for your attendance.
Thank you.
Before moving on to the next matter, what I'm going to do here is perhaps unusual in this context, but in court proceedings, a practice has now developed whereby the court won't sit for more than 1.5 hours, but will take a 5-minute stretch before resuming. So we're going to take a 5-minute stretch before resuming because we have a number of other matters to deal with.
But we are not a court.
But don't go far away.
Yeah.
No one's here for the next matter, is there? Yes, there is. Yes. All right. Can we resume the meeting? We can move straight on to item number 6. This is the proposed item five. This is the proposed alterations and additions at 80 Palmer Street, Balmain. And I can say right at the outset that the panel is completely happy with this. I think we have two people here who are connected with that matter, do we? You're the proprietors? Yes? All right. Okay, we've got no problem with it. Ms. Morrell?
Thank you very much. This is a development application for alterations and additions to an existing residential flat building. And the reason why it has come to the panel is because of a clause 4.6 variation to the development standard of the floor space ratio. The panel inspected the site this morning, and we consider that the development is one that warrants approval. It will have no adverse environmental impacts. We, in terms of the clause 4.6 variation to the floor space ratio, the written request demonstrates the FSR is unreasonable and unnecessary, and the panel has come to the conclusion that the objectives of both the floor space ratio control contained in the LEP and the zone objectives are met by the variation to the FSR. In fact, the variation is for roof space to be converted, and the panel has no objection to the proposal. It is noted that whilst it is in a heritage conservation area, or there are heritage items in the vicinity, the building itself is not a heritage item. It will provide for the needs of the community in terms of the objectives, and it is compatible with the area. Therefore, the panel has determined that the supports the findings contained in the assessment report and endorses the reasons for approval contained in that report, subject to the conditions contained in the officer's report. Panel reason?
You've given them.
All right, okay.
So we move on to item 6 for some of the revision. And
we have people who are interested in that now. We met you on the site for what you proposed, and we understand what is the purpose.
You object to some of the recommendations.
Correct.
Yeah.
My name is Michael van der Merwe. I'm husband of the owner. By way of background, we would really like to alter the house to suit our needs as a family. The rear ground floor of the house is a rabbit warren of interconnected rooms that do not suit our current needs. And we need a living space that opens out onto a rear courtyard, a much larger kitchen to replace the old one, as well as a downstairs bedroom with a shared bathroom and guest toilet. The existing garage is to be rebuilt, and we've designed a multi-function space that can be used as a garage, studio, workshop, and storeroom with bathroom. We feel that the proposal is reasonable and modest in scope and architectural resolution. Alterations to the heritage-listed house are to the rear, while maintaining the main heritage aspects of the front main rooms, as well as the renovation of the existing wraparound balcony. These changes will allow us to use the building as a family home without impacting on the heritage value. Replacing an existing garage with a multi-function garage, studio and bathroom, simple in form and modest in size, given the 9.5-metre height limit and the 8.5-metre-high neighbouring house, gives us much-needed storage space and allow us to park two motorbikes or a small car and to be used as a studio and workshop. While Council has recommended approval of the proposal, there are a few conditions there that really interfere with our use of the space. Council is seeking to place conditions on the approval that we feel are unreasonable and impact negatively on our ability to use the amenity of our house and site as a viable family home. We can see no reasoned argument from Council for the imposition of these conditions and contend that nothing of value will be added to our neighbours nor to the local area in adopting these conditions. We have spent a lot of time and money engaging a local planner, a local heritage architect with many years of local experience to give us their best advice during this process. We have taken that advice and acted on good faith throughout. We have modified the original proposal to address some of Council's concerns, and there's been no recognition of our changes. Indeed, Council has since added more items to their list of conditions. We're firmly of the opinion that the current proposal meets all the criteria and all the relevant conditions proposed by Council are necessary and unreasonable. To this end, I request that conditions 15, part 1, 2, 3, 4 and 6 be removed, and condition 35 also be removed.
So that was 15, sorry.
Conditions 15, part 1, 2, 3, 4 and 6. Condition 5 was, it's a new condition that's been added to do with colours and materials. And then condition 35 as well.
No, pardon.
Sorry, which is condition?
Condition 35 is the crossing.
So we need an amendment. So they're wanting to take back a vehicle crossing?
Yes.
To park a car into the garage?
The box.
Sorry? The car space. Yes.
But that won't be the redundant crossing. The redundant crossing will be the one to the roller door.
We're bringing it up that it's not really redundant. We still want to get two motorbikes in there.
Okay, so it's tied in with the deletion of the roller door condition, the undeletion of that condition,
yes,
as it were.
Yes. And then also they've tied it up to the occupation of the house. How
we occupying the house? So how, if we they're taking away the vehicular crossing, how are we going to occupy the house?
I think they mean prior to the occupation certificate for your works.
Okay. That's not what the condition said. It said...
yeah, you're right. Maybe we could clarify that.
OC, it should be OC. Not the occupation
before occupation of the site at no cost to council. So...
It's
okay.
Badly worded, okay.
And the other thing is it's council land. It's not... we don't want to give up that vehicle crossing. If council insist on taking it away from us, we also feel that it shouldn't be at our cost that they remove that vehicle crossing from us. And we can see no real gain. So what, we'll be getting one extra on-site parking but losing one off-street parking. The net sum gain is zero.
No.
All right. Any questions, panel members?
Yeah, could you just explain, we were in that room where there's the window that the condition is required to be retained.
Yes.
And then there's a door to the left of that.
Yes.
And on your drawings, looks like you're retaining the door anyway.
Yes.
And then the window is half blocked up.
Yes.
And then there's a new opening.
Yes.
Why do you need the two openings to the bathroom?
I don't. The door's closed off. You can't walk through that door. That door's retained in a blocked-off way. It's sealed off.
Oh,
it's
so on the drawing it says retained door, existing door retained in blocked-off opening.
Yeah.
So what you mean is the...
You can't open the door. The door doesn't swing
open see.
Down. It's a
feature.
So
it's
you retain the opening, but yes. And there'll be a new opening to the bathroom on the other side.
Yes.
Okay, I get that.
So I think this was a suggestion by the heritage architect in response to some of the things raised by the council heritage planner. So he said, look, we'll keep the remnants of the opening, but not have it as an opening door, obviously.
And then subsequently to that, the heritage officer didn't seem to like that. So then we said, we'll actually keep the glass door as it is there, but block it off in the bathroom, but keep it visible from the bedroom
right.
side.
And the actual window, what's, besides having to move the basin potentially, what's the downside for you in keeping the window? You could put some sort of obscure glass in it.
So there are a couple of issues. One, it limits us in terms of the size of that bathroom.
Keep the window.
Two, it really cuts down the amount of borrowed light that we can get into that bedroom. And if we look at the Building Code of Australia or the NCC, we need 10% glazing and 5%... ventilation, but if you're using borrowed light, you need double that, and we can't get that amount of light into the space. So, if we to apply a strict letter of the law, the only thing we could use bedroom one for would be a storeroom.
Closing off the window, getting rid of the window. How are you getting light in there anyway?
Well, it's a large opening that you can walk through. So it now. It's one space, the bedroom and that little space where the kitchen currently is now one space.
I'm assuming that you can have an opening, but you have to keep the window on the other side of the opening.
That wouldn't be possible.
Why not?
Because there's not enough.
No. If this is drawn accurately, the red bit is the red that. And have you got the drawing in front of you?
Yes, we do.
So the red where it says brick up part of X window.
Yes.
The red. Is assume where the window is now.
Correct.
And that's the bit that you're going to brick up.
Yes.
So if that red bit was window, remained as window, your opening's still the same.
But that's only half the window.
So you haven't drawn the whole window on that.
But it's I've bashed it and it's coloured in green.
If you read the drawing, it looks like the red is the edge of the window and then it extends...
It says brick up part of existing window.
Part of existing window. And if you look, the whole thing has been widened now, so we've left a remnant of brickwork on the other side.
So you're saying the window isn't where it's shown red there?
It is. But what we're doing is we're making a larger opening. We're bricking up part of the window and making a larger opening to allow light through.
The actual window is that, and this is being bricked in.
So the window actually starts there.
So that,
yes. So I was assuming the window was here.
No, because the window is quite wide, so that's the whole window.
I see.
So the window won't be able to be reused anywhere.
No, I don't.
So you want, and this?
So this becomes a little area that you walk through to get to the inner courtyard, okay. And it lets in light to this bedroom.
Okay, so this isn't the window. The window is actually that wide.
The window's there.
Right. And this, you're saying this isn't wide enough to get light?
No.
Can you even comply with the BCA with that much?
I'm not sure. A door width?
I don't know. Well, light from
so
where?
So that's 1.2 and then by 2.1 high. So it's a door width that opens a door width.
Well, yeah, but is it, does it even comply with the BCA?
Well, I guess we could put a general condition in the consent.
It has to. I mean...
But why do I have that general overriding condition about compliance with Australian standards?
All right. Were they? Can we just ask about the condition that talks about lowering the garage? What's the problem with that? Oh, sorry, lowering the studio, not the garage, it's the studio.
Was unreasonable.
And the use of that room, you've called it studio, so I assumed it was like a studio apartment where you have a bedroom in there because you've got a bathroom.
No.
So when you use the word studio, you mean it like as an artist studio?
Yes, correct.
Not as a studio bedroom,
no,
as
no,
it were.
We're
not that you can't, you can have a studio bedroom, that's fine.
Yes.
You just can't have it as a secondary dwelling.
No, we're not applying for dual occupancy.
Maybe I should have worded it workshop. I didn't actually... It was semantics. I didn't know what to word it. Outbuilding.
So, no, we never envisaged it to be used as a dwelling, no.
Can I just ask a question with respect to your objection of the a structural engineer with respect to the chimney? Why do you object to that?
So, in my experience dealing with structural engineers, getting them to certify things that they haven't designed or had anything to do with the construction of, it's a very difficult process. That chimney has never been there. We're not proposing to change anything.
To demolish part of the ceiling to be able to view that part of the chimney, it just seems, for something that we're not proposing any changes to, it seems like one of those conditions that are going to be very difficult to achieve. Yes.
Which I don't think would be difficult to achieve. The colours and material schedule. Why is there an objection to that? This is a heritage item.
Are you talking about condition 15, part 5?
Yes.
Yeah, we don't have an objection to that.
You don't either.
No,
I'm very
he asked for a roof colour change, which I did, and then later on he asked for the rest, and I'm quite happy to do that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's interesting because he did ask for a number of changes which we provided, and then subsequently he then requested some more changes, which I thought was a little bit peculiar.
Because from speaking to the heritage planner or architect ourselves, we understand... It is an actual heritage item that's listed including the interiors.
Correct.
So that's why the conditions in terms of retaining the interiors have been recommended. That's our understanding.
Correct. And unfortunately, our heritage architect is away and can't... He's overseas and he can't make this meeting. But in his report, you would have also seen that he contends that the main heritage items are the front rooms with a wraparound balcony. What we're doing at the back is of much less heritage value. And what we're talking about is a timber sash window of very limited heritage value, really, when you look at the overall scheme of things. But it does impact us in a very severe way in terms of how we can use the house. It really means that that room behind that window cannot be used as a bedroom because it won't get enough light and ventilation.
Can I just ask you a question for clarification in respect of this studio workshop, this chameleon that we can't sort of quite work out? It's still got a garage door on it, but it's not wide enough for a garage. It's proposed to be completely rebuilt.
Yes, we need to demolish the garage.
So why not rebuild it as a garage with the appropriate width, etc.? I mean, on the one hand, it's this quasi sort of room, additional area with a bathroom, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other hand, it's got a garage door on it, and it really falls between all the stools as to what it really is.
I do agree. So we were looking at the option of keeping it as a standard garage on ground floor and putting a studio space above with a bathroom. But on the advice of our planner, he said try and keep it at one story, which is what we've tried to do. So we've tried to make a multifunction space that I guess is trying to do too many things at once. But we're trying to be able to use it. We can park a small car there. I understand that it doesn't comply with the BCA in terms of the parking code. But the width is fine. It's the length that's shorter than it needs to be. So the width is 3 meters and the length is 4.
But if you
think
that bathroom,
yes.
Have a
correct.
Fine garage.
We would. I mean, for us, the space is much better used as a multifunction studio space. I think if we were given the option of removing the bathroom and calling it purely a garage and keeping the vehicle crossing, we'd be in the mind of getting rid of the roller shutter, getting rid of the vehicle crossing, and keeping it as a studio space, that would be our priority. And if we wanted to use it as a garage to park a motorbike, we'd be able to come in off the other, as long as we maintained one off-street parking into the courtyard, we'd be able to bring a motorbike into that space off the courtyard. So I guess... Yes, it's not weatherproof. There's a lot of dust. When it rains, the water comes in. It's not ideal. It's old. We don't know what it's constructed of. So I think a fair compromise then would be to say, okay, let's get rid of the roller shutter. We'll give council the one vehicle crossing. We'll keep the vehicle crossing into the courtyard. And would that go some way to... Well, yes, I would like to keep the roller shutter because we will be trying to bring things off the streets. If we keep the roller shutter, we can still bring a motorbike in if no one is parked in front of the curb. But the roller shutter seemed to be a bit of a sticking point for some reason. I wasn't quite sure what. But yes. Yes.
But then it looks like, and it is a garage as opposed to, we don't know what it is.
Yes, yes.
Oh, we got a double story.
Sorry?
We got a double story.
I mean,
if that's what they take away about other crossings.
Yeah, I guess we're trying to do too much. I mean, maybe what's best is to leave it as a full garage and to apply for a studio above the garage. Sorry? Yeah, no, that would be a completely new DA, obviously, not even a Section 96. I understand that. But on the advice of our planner, this is the route we went down. And perhaps it's not the right...
I think if you want ultimately a studio and parking, then you should lodge whatever you want ultimately to get approval for, rather than just do it half, because I don't know, that's my view. Like, if you really want a studio and a car parking space, then apply for a studio and a car parking space and then negotiate on that.
Yes. Right. So what would be the problem in terms of the heritage? I mean, the...
Well, from the street stack point of view, and I'm not the heritage fan, but yep. I do have done a lot of heritage work, it would be the relationship of the heritage item and then the size of this studio really in terms of the significance of the heritage item. See, it's not just a conservation area.
Yes, no, true.
I mean, you can take an, assuming something gets approved, which probably will, you could just come back and do an amendment to that part of the development, you know what I mean? If you do want to pursue with council, do a pre-DA on converting this to a studio, I don't know. As Jan said, it may be difficult, given the site's a heritage item, but maybe something is possible. I don't know. I think you'd have to explore that more closely with the council's officers.
Are you asking us to make a decision? Okay.
I don't think so.
To do is to approve what you want to do with the dwelling, and you can get on with that, but we are not going to this consent will not extend to the studio garage structure at the rear. That should be the subject of a separate application.
Okay.
Later.
Okay.
That's the approach we're adopting, so we're going to have to tweak some of these conditions.
Okay. You.
And Miss Warden will do that.
Sorry?
Are you happy with that approach? You're not happy with that approach?
She seems less happy than I am, but you...
but...
So in regards, if we had replaced our fibro corrugated thing with exactly the same, but in brick... in a pitched roof, you would have approved it without a bathroom?
We will need to take on board some heritage advice.
Okay.
We haven't got that
because,
here.
I mean, you worry about the scale of the garage and, you know, but what about 6 Summerhill Street is enormous compared to us, and in the scale of things, it just cascades it down to our little one-storey courtyard.
We understand what you're saying.
Mm.
But we really need heritage advice before we can look at that sort of thing.
I guess there's an uncertainty in our minds about what's the garage. Is it a garage, as Jan had previously said? Is it a garage? Is it a studio? Is it a workshop? And then when you suggested, oh, we don't really want this, we really want a different studio, that's why we're only...